Just briefly, it is interesting because we do see different trajectories and different risk profiles on the continent. The next category that we identify is what we call our stable regional hubs, countries like Ghana, Kenya, Senegal. These are mid-sized countries that are integrated with the regional economy, but they're showing relatively lower levels of transmission. And this seems to be partly a result of them having relatively stronger press freedoms. So there's more transparency, exposure to what's happening, more public education. There is relatively a strong health system. There are younger populations in these countries, and they don't have the population density that we see elsewhere. So that seems to be contributing to the more moderate effects. The next category is what we're calling clustered cities and fragile states. These are category represents about a dozen countries, mostly in the Sahel, where you have the combination of relatively large geographic areas, but the vast majority of people are congregated in urban areas. And so, unbeknownst to a lot of people, the Sahel countries have some of the highest population densities on the continent. And so this creates a vulnerability for transmission and something we're keeping our eye on. So far, though, they've experienced the relatively limited levels of transmission, at least that are reported. Again, they have lower levels of international exposure, so they wouldn't have been exposed necessarily to the first wave, and they have lower population age. This may provide them some mitigation. Nonetheless, they remain an at-risk category. Two other categories we look at together. These are small countries of populations of, on average, about 5.5 million people. It comprises about two dozen African countries. And here, these are countries that have relatively limited international exposure, small urban populations. They're stable. They don't have a whole lot of conflict or displacement. Yet, there's important differences between those that are relatively more open, meaning more press transparency and democratic, versus those that are more closed. And what we see in terms of the pandemic is that those small countries that are more open are testing about 30% more than the small restricted countries. Yet the restricted countries are experiencing or reporting some 75% greater number of cases per million. And so it really helps show the important role that a free press plays in public education, in transparency, in serving as an early warning system, and building trust with the government. And so you get higher levels of cooperation in responding to the pandemic. We have those what we're calling low transparency countries, and this includes Tanzania, Burundi, and Eritrea. But these countries, it's just really hard to know what is going on because they're not testing and or reporting what's happening with the pandemic. And as an example, on average, these countries are reporting just 16 cases per million of population. And the average in Africa is about 189 cases per million. And so the worry is that there is a high degree of underreporting in these countries, and with limited response, it is causing unknown level of transmission within these countries. And this not only puts those populations at risk, but it puts neighboring countries at risk because of the transboundary movements of people and cargo. And so we may be very well seeing some hotspots in these countries that are really flying under the radar.